I want to just move into the Word real quick and share a few things with you, and then we will make our way out. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, I honor you and I thank you for your goodness and faithfulness in our lives. I want to thank you for how that you've made your presence known here today. I want to thank you how that you're moving, how you continue to move. Now, Father, I pray that you would cause your word to come alive even now as we find ourselves and posture ourselves to hear your word. You said your word would go forth and not return to you void, but accomplish that which you please and prosper whereunto the thing that you have sent it. Cause that to be the reality even today. Holy Spirit, think through my mind and speak through my lips. Cause the word of God to come alive now. In Jesus' name. Would you say amen? Amen. If you're following along with your Bible or a electronic device that has a Bible on it, I'm going to start reading from Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12, and I'm starting at verse 18. I'm reading this from the Message Bible, And so I'm going to read a number of scriptures here. And verses, so just stay with me, all right? Stay with me. Hebrews 12, starting at verse 18, it says, unlike your ancestors, you didn't come to Mount Sinai, all that volcanic blaze and earth-shaking rumble to hear God speak. The ear-splitting words and the soul-shaking message terrified them, and they begged him to stop. When they heard the words, if an animal touches the mountain, it's as good as dead. They were afraid to move. Even Moses was terrified. No, that's not your experience at all. You've come to Mount Zion, in the city where the living God resides. The invisible Jerusalem is populated by throngs of festive angels and Christian citizens. It is the city where God is judge with judgments that make us just. You've come to Jesus who represents us with a new covenant, a fresh charter from God. He is the mediator of this covenant. The murder of Jesus, unlike Abel's, a homicide that cried out for vengeance, became a proclamation of grace. So don't turn a deaf ear to these gracious words. If those who ignored earthly warnings didn't get away with it, what will happen to us if we turn our backs on heavenly warnings? His voice that shook the earth to its foundations, this time he told us this quite plainly. He'll also rock the heavens, one last shaking from top to bottom, stem to stern. The phrase one last shaking means a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk so that the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship. Deeply reverent before God. For God is not an indifferent bystander. He's actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to be burned. And he won't quit until it's cleansed, all cleansed. God himself is fire. I just want to talk for a few moments about living in the unshakable kingdom. The danger is real, but fear is a choice. Living in the unshakable kingdom. The danger is real, but fear is a choice. It's in Psalms 91, verse 1, it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. It's talking about a place where you and I can live. It's talking about a place where you and I should reside. It's a place of safety. Say safety. We live in the unshakable kingdom. We need to live in the reality of the unshakable kingdom. The scripture talks about being in the world, but not of the world. Being in the world, but not of the world. And I think one of the challenges that we have in the church, in the world today, is many taught that, like, you're in the world, but don't be involved in the world. You're in the world, but don't be involved with things. And that's not what the scripture meant at all, to say you're be in the world, but not of the world. I believe it's talking about recognize you're a part of a kingdom. You're here, but you're only here on assignment. If you will, the church, wherever the church is established, wherever members meet, we are small embassies of the kingdom of God. We represent the kingdom of God. The message that Jesus preached was the message of the kingdom. It wasn't the message of church. It was the message of the kingdom. And it's out of that reality that we must live, we need to live in the times in which we live. There is danger all around us. But we must live in the reality that we are a part of an unshakable kingdom. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have to deal with some of those challenges or be impacted by them. But there's a way for us to handle those things. Danger is real, but fear is a choice. In 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 7, Paul writing there, talking to Timothy, it says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, that the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear, but a power, love. King James says a sound mind, but a discipline. Say discipline. You see, living in the unshakable kingdom takes discipline. It takes discipline. It takes discipline to live your life in a way that while things are going on all around you, you're able to remain resolute and sure of your faith as you walk it out. And one of the things that we're faced with right now is the things that we see going on, the information that comes to us that can challenge us. The writer of Hebrews makes it clear that there is a time, and I believe we're in that time now, where anything, everything that can be shook, it will be. But for those of us that are a part of the unshakable kingdom, we're able to live in a space, live in a place that while all these things are going on, we can still remain in a place of peace. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. That is our place of peace. That's our place of safety. It should be the thing that's in your mind that helps you to be able to speak into other situations as we look at the things that are going on. When we look at what's happening out in Las Vegas, and all those lives taken. You see, it's the kind of thing that can cause you to be fearful to just go out your front door. But I want to remind you that you are part of an unshakable kingdom. And I want to remind you that it's time for us to exercise our faith in ways that cause us to keep moving forward, even though we're dealing with the reality that the dangers are real. But you got to know that fear is a choice. It's time for us to begin to exercise our faith in very different ways. It's time for you to begin to exercise your faith in very different ways. God doesn't want you and I to live in a space where we're afraid to go to events, where we're afraid to be in crowds, we're afraid to be in this location or that location. Hear me. There are believers in other countries that every day they get up, they have to activate their faith to go out their door because bombs are going off. They're hearing guns being, what was heard in Las Vegas and some of the other places of these semi-automatic guns and things going off. There are believers, say believers. There are brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on, say brothers and sisters in Christ. We have brothers and sisters that live in that environment 24/7. But they're recognizing they're part of an unshakable kingdom. And I want to encourage us, because as we continue to move forward in God, as you continue to move forward in God, He wants you to move forward in confidence. Make no mistake, the early church suffered violence. The early church had to navigate through the intimidation of the religious leaders, the political leaders. But they chose to keep going, recognizing we're a part of an unshakable kingdom. We're a part of the kingdom of God. You and I are a part of that kingdom. And I want to encourage us this morning to live out of that place. It's in 1 John 4:18. It says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. In the Message Bible, it reads like this: there is no room in love for fear. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is gripping a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. To live in fear means we have not matured in our walk in God. First, knowing He loves us. Secondly, recognizing the kingdom that we are a part of. Perfected love. Say mature love. Come on, say mature love. When Paul began his ministry, Paul recognized the challenges that he would face all of his life. And so he wrote out of that place of helping believers to understand that there will be challenges, but God's got you all the way through it. Now, I want to say this on a personal level to you as well as a corporate level, because you live out of your own personal world, and then we do community together. We live out life together. But Paul, in his writing, he's helping them to understand when he says, though troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but never destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in my body. He's dealing with the reality of this is the world we're in. This is the world you're in. But if you're going to successfully live out your life in a victorious way as it relates to the unshakable kingdom, I want to give you four things that you have to manage in the unshakable kingdom. I'm going to give you four things that you have to manage very quickly. Four things that you have to manage. I'm going to tell them to you real quick. Just write them down, but we'll put them up on the screen as we go along. Four things you have to manage in the unshakable kingdom. Number one, information. Say information. Number two, observation. Say observation. Number three, implication. Say implication. Number four, application. Say application. Let me give them to you again. Information. Say information. Observation. Say observation. Implication. Say implication. Number four, what is number four? Application. There they are. They're on the screen, so you can just write those down. Or take a picture. Some of y'all take the picture of the screen, and that's great, Valerie. So just go ahead and do it however you want to do it. That's great. I just need us to get it. As I spent the time praying and talking to the Lord about it, or he was talking to me about it while I was cutting the grass, There's four things that it's amazing the revelation you can get doing work. Amen. I'm just having fun with you, Kelly. Four things to manage, though, in the unshakable kingdom. The first thing that I think that we have to be able to manage is information. Say information. Now, listen to me. I'm not talking about information in the kingdom as much as information that comes to us. Now, it is both, but hear me. We've got to manage information. One of the definitions that speaks to information is this: knowledge that you get about someone or something. Information. Facts or details about a subject. See, in order to live victoriously in the unshakable kingdom, you've got to manage information. Say, manage information. You've got to manage knowledge that you get about someone or something, or facts or details about a subject. We have to be able to live our lives in a way that as information comes to us, listen, everything that comes to you must be filtered out of your reality that you are a part of an unshakable kingdom. When information comes to you and I, we have to be able to put the information in its proper context, its proper place. Knowledge that you get about someone or something, facts or details about a subject. Now, going back to the resurrection of Jesus, the crucifixion, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. When Jesus was crucified and he was placed on the cross, later in the tomb, you remember that the ladies went to the tomb. When they got to the tomb, on their way to the tomb, they're thinking one thing. Once they get there, their thinking changes because they now have new information. Say new information. Now we're talking about knowledge that you get about someone or something, facts or details about a subject. They get there and they realize, because the angel was there and says, "Hey, how y'all doing? What brings you here? We've come to anoint the body. Why seek the living among the dead?" That's what they said. That's what one of the passages say. "Why seek the living among the dead? He's not here. Had you been listening, you wouldn't have shown up here." Had you been listening, you wouldn't be here. At least not for the reason you came. He's not here. The information that they received, they were told to take it and to report it to the disciples. Say information. So now they're navigating through the information. They take the information to the disciples. The disciples, now listen, the disciples are so messed up over what I'm getting ready to talk about next, the observation that they are discounting now the information. Because when they show up and they say to the disciples and those that have gathered, "We went to the tomb, he wasn't there, but an angel was there and said he's no longer dead, he's risen, and told us to come tell you and to tell you that he's going to meet you." And it says that they received it as nonsense. Now, listen to me. If you're going to live in a place of victory in the unshakable kingdom, everything concerning the kingdom, you need to receive it by faith, whether it makes sense to you or not. Four things that you have to manage in the unshakable kingdom. The other, or the flip side of that, is information that comes to you that's contrary to the message or the narrative of the unshakable kingdom, you must be able to put it in its proper place. Because if you're not careful, you'll receive that information that doesn't fit the scriptures, is not a part of the covenant, and you begin to live out your days out of a place of information you've received that really is not valid for you as a resident of the unshakable kingdom. Is this making sense to you? So when information comes to you, you must always weigh that information. You have to know how to manage it in light of being a part of the unshakable kingdom. Now, number two is observation. Observation, a statement about something you have noticed, a comment or remark, something you noticed by watching or listening. I'm talking about four things that must be managed in the unshakable kingdom. Observation. Observation. The challenge that many had who walked with Jesus is that they were at the crucifixion. They were there. They saw them put the nails in his feet and in his hands. They saw them put him on that cross. They saw him raise his body up. Saw him bleeding. They heard the words that were spoken. They saw the crown of thorns on his head. They saw them spit on him. They saw the all of it. They saw the beating before he even got to the cross. Many of them, they were there when he took his last breath and said, "It is finished." They saw it. So there's the information that we have to manage, and then there's the observation as well that we have to manage. Because their observation, now hear me, their observation overrode everything Jesus tried to get across to them. Their observation, what they were looking at, see, if they had really grabbed a hold of his message of kingdom, they would have watched everything going on and they would have just kept saying, "It's not over. This ain't over. It ain't over." Because I remember him saying, 3 days and he's going to be raised up. 3 days, he's going to be back. 3 days, 3 days, 3 days. I didn't quite understand it, but I don't know how this all fits, but I just, something inside of me saying, it ain't over. But their observation brought them to a conclusion that now had to be overridden by some other information. That's why it's good to be able to come to church. It's good to be able to be in the company of the saints, the fellowship of believers. Why? It's good to be able to have those in your life who can, while you're dealing with the observation, they can bring to you some Holy Ghost, Spirit-led information that now counteracts, overrides your observation of things. Because, hey, things can look really bad. For some of you, you may be in that place where things are looking bad. You got to learn how to manage the information. You got to learn how to manage the observation if you're going to be in a place of victory in an unshakable kingdom. You can be in the unshakable kingdom and still be shook up. And you're no good to anybody. You're not even good to yourself right about then. So when the ladies show up and telling them he's not dead, they're like, "Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I was there. I saw what they did to him. I was there when they took his body down and looked like he was alive to me." You've got to be able to manage even what seems to be the reality in the moment. There are some realities that you've got to be able to manage, but recognizing you are part of the kingdom of God. It is an unshakable kingdom. It is an unshakable kingdom. It is an unshakable kingdom. And I'm about out of time, so I'm going to have to give you the last two next week. Our guest will send it to you. I saw it. He's like, "Oh my God. We'll make sure you get it." I don't want to rush this. I don't want to rush what I know we need to get. You got to be able to hear it. You got to be able to grab a hold of it. See. Now, I want to stay right here with these two. Information, observation. Next week, we're going to talk about implication and then application, okay? So, again, information. Knowledge that you get about someone or something, facts or details about a subject. Observation, a statement about something you have noticed, a comment or remark, something you noticed by watching or listening. So, let me pull this in for today with these couple of thoughts and these couple of passages of scripture. Because last night I was reading and I was just spending time quiet, and I'm thinking about this being a part of the unshakable kingdom, being a part of the unshakable kingdom. And one of the things that I've realized about my personality, my DNA, my view of God, it has always been lofty. It has always been lofty. Now, I know Jesus came, I know Jesus died for me, and I'm grateful. But he's no longer the baby in the manger. He's no longer the Savior on the cross. He is now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. 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 I believe he calls my name before he calls anybody else's name. Okay, yours first. Okay, so I've always had this thing of how I see him. Pastor Marisa will remember years ago when I did my first live recording. It was called Holy. I was writing songs and people was like, "What's he talking about?" Because the song said, "There was a light. It was brighter than the day. There was no night." And I was there, looking out into eternity. There was a crowd, a multitude of people singing out loud and kneeling down before the great throne, singing praise to him who sat alone. And in that light, they never ceased to praise him. And they were singing, "Holy." Mm. I heard a voice. I knew it was my Lord. I did rejoice, for finally I would see him face to face in all of his glory and his grace. He called my name. I felt so all alone, but not ashamed. For in his hand he held my reward, and with outstretched arms I did come forth. And as I looked to behold his face, all I could say is holy. That's my revelation. It's what keeps me going, Nina, when I'm dealing with the realities of life. I recognize I'm part of an unshakable kingdom. And I'm learning, Nathaniel, how to live out of that place so I don't find myself getting bogged down. You see, God has a way of bringing words to you and I. He'll bring it through the prophets. He'll bring it through different ones. In the life of Isaiah was dealing with the nations, and he was dealing with the kingdom. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. If you do your homework, you'll find that God's dealing with his people out of two different kingdoms, okay? And Isaiah is having to navigate through where the people were, but what he could see. And he would speak to the reality, but he also would speak prophetically. So in Isaiah, and when you get around verse chapters 40 through the 60-some verses, he's speaking there. He's speaking concerning the contemporaries, but he's also speaking prophetically. I want to just end out with a couple of passages, because here's what Isaiah knew and what God knew is. I need to help you recognize and keep before you who I am all the time. I'm reading from the Message Bible, and then I'm going to be done. But in Isaiah 40, starting at verse 21 through 31, it says this, Message Bible. So it's commentary, so just kind of listen to it. All right? Team, y'all can come on up. Come on. It says, "Have you not been paying attention? Have you not been listening? Haven't you heard these stories all your life? Don't you understand? The foundation of all things. God sits high above the round ball of earth. The people look like mere ants. Eric, sovereign Lord. He stretches out the skies like a canvas. Yes, like a tent canvas to live under. He ignores what the princes say and do. The rulers of the earth count for nothing. Princes and rulers don't amount to much, like seeds barely rooted, just sprouted. They shrivel when God blows on them. Like flecks of chaff, they're gone with the wind. So who is like me? Who holds a candle to me? Says the Holy One. Look at the night skies. Who do you think made all this? Who marches this army of stars out each night, counts them off, calls each by name, so magnificent, so powerful, and never overlooks a single one? Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me? He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. Yes, yes, yes. He's creator of all you see or can imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath, and he knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young men tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God will get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. Isaiah is speaking to a people who are now struggling with their reality. They're struggling with the information, and they're struggling with their observation. In order for you and I to live victoriously in the unshakable kingdom, you must be able to manage the information, as well as you must be able to manage observation.
Yes, sir.
And so lastly, he goes on in Isaiah 46 and he says this. So whom will you compare me, the incomparable? Can you picture me without reducing me? Can you picture God without reducing God? People with a lot of money hire craftsmen to make gods. The artisan delivers the god and they kneel and worship it. They carry it around in holy parades, then take it home and put it on a shelf. And there it sits, day in and day out. A dependable God, always right where you put it. Say anything you want to say to it, it never talks back. Of course, it never does anything either. Think about this. Wrap your minds around. This is serious business, rebels. Take it to heart. Remember your history, your long and rich history. I am God, the only God you've ever had or will ever have. Incomparable, irreplaceable. From the very beginning, telling you what the ending will be all along, letting you in on what is going to happen. Assuring you, I'm in this for the long haul. I'll do exactly what I set out to do.
Hallelujah.
Calling the eagle Cyrus out of the east, from a far country, the man I chose to help me. I've said it, and I'll most certainly do it. I've planned it, so it's as good has done.
Hallelujah.
That's our God. That's your God. That's my God. Living in the unshakable kingdom. Living victoriously in the unshakable kingdom.